Praise the Lord. We have lots more today to do. I'm just going to share a little message here about Yom Kippur. It shouldn't take more than 3 or 4 hours to complete this message. Okay. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But remember, we will be, after this part of the service, that we will be regathering back. It was going to be about 2:30. Hopefully, it will be close to that sometime. Then at 5:30, we are meeting just down the street. It's just, what is it, 5 blocks from here, maybe? Not even a half a mile. It's like 1, 2, maybe 3 blocks from here. It's that close. And everyone's welcome to join in with 5:30 as we break the fast. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I just ask, Lord, your blessing, your anointing upon this word today. Lord, we know that your word tells us that your word is a light to our path. It's a lamp to our feet. Help us, Lord, to receive it with joy. Give us minds that clearly understand. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears that not just hear things, but listen intently your voice. Give us lips, Lord, that will speak truth, but let it be tempered with love. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be planted on fertile soil upon our hearts, that we might produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I thank you in the name of Yeshua. Amen. A little while ago, Bob had mentioned that Yom Kippur used to be a very joyful event. And I'm going to just start off on that. Bob kind of shared a little bit here and there about the day during the Torah portion and other things. But according to Jewish tradition and also the Talmud, the writings of the Jewish people, Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, was once one of the greatest feasts that was celebrated annually in the nation of Israel. And in ancient times, people would joyfully dress in white, like I'm wearing this kittel. You would dress joyfully in white, anticipating and look forwarding to your purification from sin. So it was something to look forward to. You're excited because you were going to be cleansed from your sin. It was only once a year, on this day of Yom Kippur, that God would allow the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, to enter behind the parochet, the curtain, the veil, into what's known as the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies. This was just once a year. And this could only be done after sacrificial blood had been shed to cover not only his transgression and the transgressions of his family and the priesthood, but also for the whole nation of Israel. And in the Kodesh Kodeshim, in this Holy of Holies, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, would then approach the Kaporet, the atonement cover, and receive assurance that God had sanctified the sacrifice for sin. If Yom Kippur was at one time one of the most joyful and exciting Feast of the Lord, why isn't it celebrated that way today among the Jewish people? Why do Jewish people today spend Yom Kippur fasting and weeping and pleading before God instead of rejoicing over the compassion and the mercy of God as their forefathers once did? Jewish writings state that toward the end of what's known as the Second Temple period, some very strange things and some very distressing things began to appear. We read in the writings of our Jewish people, it says, at first, speaking of the priesthood, at first they used to bind a shining crimson, a red strip of cloth on the outside of the Beit HaMikdash of the temple. And if that crimson strip of cloth would turn white, They would rejoice. They would be all excited because it meant that God had forgiven their sins. And if it did not turn white, they would then be full of sorrow and shame and bewilderment, not understanding. And another writing of our people states that 40 years before the Beit HaMikdash, the holy temple, was destroyed. And we know from history that the temple in Jerusalem, the second temple, was destroyed around 70 CE, AD. So 40 years before that, around 30 CE, it said that some very strange things began to happen. And this is what they wrote. The lot of the Yom Kippur goat ceased to be supernatural anymore. In other words, God would speak to the high priest and God would show him which goat would be the sacrificial goat or the goat of the Lord, the Lord's goat that would be sacrificed, and which goat would become the Azazel, or also known as the scapegoat, or the one that would be sent away into the wilderness with the sins of Israel upon him. God was no longer showing the priest by miraculous means, by lot, which goat was which. And then also, we read that red, that crimson wool cloth that used to be turning white or would turn white every year, which was symbolic of God's forgiveness, now remained red. And it did not change anymore. It remained red. And not only that, the candle, the Western candle in the seven-branch menorah, or the candelabra that was in the sanctuary, the one that was giant, tall, refused to burn continuously anymore. And also that the doors of the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, would just open and close of themselves. All these strange, these distressing things began happening 40 years before the temple was destroyed, around 30 CE or AD. So here we had the problem. So these miracles did not take place for 40 years before the temple was destroyed in 70 CE. And the people, they began to realize more and more that this sacrifice of Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, no longer had the power to cleanse their sinful hearts. It seemed to them, to our people, that God no longer found this sacrifice to be acceptable anymore. And again, according to Jewish writings, this was evidence that the Shekhinah, that the very glory and the very presence of God had departed from the Beit HaMikdash, from His temple. God's glory had left. But what happened? What happened 40 years prior to the destruction of this Beit HaMikdash, this temple in Jerusalem in 70 CE, which brought about all these very strange and bewildering happenings? Well, let me tell you what happened 40 years before the destruction of the temple in 30 CE. It says in the Brit Chadashah, in our new covenant of Scripture, it tells us that the Messiah, Yeshua, that Jesus, was sacrificed on a hill outside Jerusalem in 30 CE. After the sacrifice of Yeshua, no further sacrifices for sin was acceptable in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. Which is why this crimson strip of cloth no longer turned white, and all these other strange things began to happen. But they couldn't see this. Since the destruction of this Beit HaMikdash, the temple, and the end of the sacrificial system in 70 CE, the rabbis have offered up alternative methods of atonement. Since there's no longer a temple, since there's no longer a sacrificial system, they met and decided, how are we going to fulfill the requirements of this Day of Atonement if these things are not available for us anymore? And they had these discussions concerning this dilemma, and it appears in the writings of the Jewish people. They wrote, how do we make reconciliation with God without the ability to fulfill the sacrifices that are spoken about in the temple, if there's no longer a temple? They could not imagine that God would require something that they could no longer perform. But instead of recognizing that God Himself had fulfilled the sacrificial requirement once and for all through the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua, the rabbis sought out other alternative methods which they believed would take the place of the sacrifices or the sacrifices that God had commanded them in the Torah. So they instituted charity, which is in Hebrew tzedakah, and good deeds, mitzvot, and prayer, which is tefillah, and fasting, in Hebrew we call anah nefesh, to afflict the soul. And these things, the charity, the good deeds, the prayer and fasting, afflicting one's soul, they said these things would become substitutes for the blood atonement that was prescribed and commanded in the Torah. And regarding this fasting, the Jewish people, our people recite, may the diminishing of my blood and fat as a result of the Yom Kippur fast, may it be accepted by God as though I have offered it upon the altar of God in Jerusalem. They were making this as a substitute. There are some very orthodox, ultra-orthodox Jewish people who follow what's known as the practice of kaporot, whereas they will ritually slaughter a white rooster or a white hen as a substitutionary sacrifice. And this fowl, this bird, seems to be the substitute also for the Azazel, the scapegoat, which is spoken about in the book of Leviticus chapter 16. However, the only place in which animal sacrifices were permitted to take place was in the Beit HaMikdash, the temple that God had established in Jerusalem. However, I find it amazing that there are some still Jewish people who recognize the importance of blood atonement. And I believe that God will use this to open their eyes. And just as Irene mentioned earlier, I believe that God will allow, that will send Yeshua to appear to them. In addition, there are some of the ultra-Orthodox who follow the practice known as malkat, which is 39 stripes or floggings prior to being immersed in the mikvah, in the waters of immersion. Some of us had a mikvah, an immersion, a while back. And lastly, there are very long prayers that are recited on Yom Kippur. One of them we saw earlier on the video. But this one long prayer known as the Al Chet is a long confessional consisting of 56 sin categories. I bet you didn't even know you had 56 different sin categories, did you? And as each one of these categories were recited, the individual was to beat his breast like this. And they would say, for the sin of idolatry, and they'd beat their breast. And for the sin of slothfulness, they'd beat their breast. And for the sin of lying, they'd beat their breast. And 56 times. Oh, can you imagine that? That would be painful, wouldn't it? However, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 and verse 11, it's clear about the need for substitutionary atonement. It says in Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves upon the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. God requires blood to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. There's no other means. God does not accept mitzvot, tzedakah, tefillah, anan nefesh. He does not accept good deeds, charity, prayer, and fasting, the afflicting of the soul. Nor does God require the blood of chickens or the flogging of our bodies. God requires the blood of His Son, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, alone to make atonement for our lives. That's the only way, that's the only means. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Even the Jewish writings bear out this scriptural truth. And we read this in one of the writings of our people where it says, there is no atonement except with blood. And another writing among our people says, surely atonement can only be made with blood, as it says, for it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. And lastly, we read that He, referring to the Messiah, will give Himself and His life over unto death, and His blood will atone for His people. Even our people of ancient times realized that the blood of the Messiah would atone first for the Jewish people. Now, 2,000 years ago, Yeshua the Messiah came claiming that He was the Messiah. The one that was sent by God to provide salvation. And the moment that Yeshua died, the perochet, the curtain in the temple, it says, in the Beit HaMikdash, was torn in two from the very top to the bottom, torn in two. And it says in Matthew 27:50-51 also that the earth shook and the rocks split and the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And this took place at the moment of the death of Yeshua the Messiah. Now remember from earlier, I said that Jewish writings state that 40 years before the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple, was destroyed, around 30 CE, many strange things began to happen. And all these events are of utmost importance because they establish clearly that Yeshua as being the new Kohen Gadol, the new high priest, and establishes Him as the Lamb of God. No longer must there be an annual offering for sin in our behalf. Instead, Yeshua has made atonement once and for all. It is now possible for each of us to have direct access to God through the blood of Yeshua the Messiah. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14, Hebrews 9, 11 through 14, it reads, when Messiah came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and the more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not part of creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once and for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more will then the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Also in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, the first part of it, it says that God presented Him. God presented Yeshua as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. We also read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, for you know that it's not through perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Messiah, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but he was revealed in these last times for your sake. Thank you, Lord. Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, was only a shadow, only a picture, only a glimpse of God's perfect plan for the redemption of the world. It was a picture of God's ultimate sacrifice in the Messiah, Yeshua. The repetition of this sacrifice year after year bear testimony that the perfect sin-removing sacrifice had not yet been offered, as it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, that the Torah is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once and for all and would no longer have felt guilt for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. You know, we could look for vain. If we opened up our scriptures, look for vain in the Brit Chadashah, in the New Covenant, the New Testament, for fulfillment of this day of Yom Kippur. We see fulfillment of Passover and the Feast of First Fruits, and we see fulfillment of Shavuot or Pentecost and the giving of the Spirit of God. And we can find fulfillment of Rosh Hashanah, the return, the Feast of Trumpets, the return of the Messiah, and even Sukkot. But Yom Kippur, we don't find any fulfillment of that in the Second Covenant, in the New Testament of Scripture. This is the one feast that is not fulfilled by the body of the Messiah, because we as a body no longer owe any atonement. There's no longer atonement that we need. But Yeshua spiritually fulfilled Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, when he paid for the sins for all of us. But these are the Moedim. That is, these are God's appointed times that we're in. And each of these are to be fulfilled physically for the Jewish people. That's just the way it is. Now, Yom Kippur, this Day of Atonement, will be fulfilled in the future. But it's going to be in a wonderful way when Yeshua returns during his second coming. Now, the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, pictures the reaction of Israel, the Jewish people, to the very sight of HaMelech Shel HaYehudim, the king of the Jews, returning to Jerusalem. Now listen, and you can turn with, if you want, to Zechariah chapter 10, or chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, starting at verse 10. Zechariah 12:10 says, "And I will pour out on the house of David, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." And then in the next chapter, 13 and verse 6, it says, "And if someone asks him, 'What are these wounds on your body?' he will answer, 'The wounds I was given at the house of my friends.'" In the opening scripture from Leviticus 23, there is repeated emphasis on self-denial or affliction of the soul. Thus, Israel's future Day of Atonement, the fulfillment of this, will be a day of affliction of the soul. A future day which will bring the Jewish nation to repentance and forgiveness of sins which hindered them fellowship with God. Just as doubting Thomas became believing Thomas when he saw Yeshua's wounds. And Yeshua told him, touch and feel, Thomas. So Israel, as we just read in Zechariah chapter 12 and also chapter 13, will look upon his pierced body and feet and realize that he alone, that Yeshua is the one, he was the one, he is the one that was spoken of by the prophet. So Israel's great Day of Atonement is going to be fulfilled when in sorrow and in mourning the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, look at the Messiah's pierced hands and feet. When he returns on his second coming and he comes into Jerusalem and the nation sees the Messiah, they see Yeshua before them and they see the Messiah's pierced body. And realize that he alone is the one who brought eternal cleansing of sin. And then when they see that and they realize that, that he was the one spoken of by the prophets and fulfilled through his life and death and resurrection, then we will see the words of Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1, come to be. And Zechariah 13:1 says, on that day, and what day? It's just saying on that day. That day is referring to the Day of Atonement. On that Day of Atonement, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. So what is going to be, Bob, what is going to be is when Yeshua comes back, when he returns and he comes into Jerusalem and he steps upon Mount Zion and the nation, the Jewish nation, sees the pierced body of Messiah and they realize that he is the one spoken of by the prophets and he is the one who was to bring atonement and salvation for them. And they mourn. And they cry and they repent of their sin and they accept him and receive him. Then that fountain is going to be opened up in Jerusalem, a fountain of life. A fountain of life is going to be opened up into Jerusalem to cleanse them from their sin and impurity. This is going to be the fulfillment of that day. And it's coming soon. The shofar is blown at the end of Yom Kippur. But we still have more to do. To mark that atonement is complete. Now for those of us who have received Yeshua as our Messiah, we know that we have our atonement in Him. And we know that our names are written and sealed permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the promise that we have. Thank you, Lord. And that's why we say that greeting, Gimar Chatima Tova, may you be inscribed for good in the Book of Life. We who have received and believed have our names written and sealed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I said, it's customary to blow the shofar at the end just to mark the atonement. And we're going to blow the shofar again and just close your eyes for a minute. Just close your eyes. Everyone, just close your eyes. Because I want you to picture. Yeshua returning. Scriptures talk about the sounding of the shofar. The Lord Himself will blow the horn, the ram's horn. Him coming for us, coming for His bride, coming for His chosen ones. Are you ready for that day? Are you as the ones who had oil in their lamps, or are you the ones that have run dry and are empty? The Lord wants you to be filled and full. The Lord wants you to be ready for His return, and it's coming soon. It could be at any time. I can't tell you when, but it's soon. We see around us the times and seasons. Some people believe, keep your eyes closed, some people believe with the blood moon that's going to take place Sunday evening that this is going to usher in the return of Messiah. There are people saying all sorts of things. There's movies that have been made about it. There's stuff all over the internet, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. Many people think He's coming back Sunday, a blood moon. The moon will be blood red. But regardless, God wants us to be ready for that day. God wants us to have our lives in order. And just listen to the sound of the shofar. And just picture Him returning. Just ask yourself, am I ready for that? Am I ready for His return? Tekiah Shevarim Teruah Tekiah Tekiah Shevarim Teruah Tekiah Gedola Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed again. I want to make sure you're ready for that day. I don't know that anything's going to happen Sunday or not. Who knows? Everything is in God's hands. Only the Father knows. And when it's time, He'll send Yeshua. I want you to be ready for that. With everyone, eyes closed. Because we do have people here I don't know. If you've never asked Yeshua, that's the name of Jesus in Hebrew, to come into your life and change you and transform you and make you whole and forgive you of your sins and just turn your life around for the kingdom of God, with no one looking, just lift your hand a little bit so I can see you if you've never done that. Is there anyone who's never, ever done that? Well, that's good. I'm glad that you have. But I want to also ask you, with Yeshua coming soon, are you still living a life of sin? Are you still messing up and you're not right? Your walk with God is not right, and you know it. You're not praying. You're not reading the Bible. You're involved in sinful areas of in your life, and you just realize, you know, I just need to get right today. I don't have time. Tomorrow may be too late. If that's speaking of you, just lift your hand. Let me just see you. Let me just agree with you. Anybody who say, Lord, I want to come back. Yes, yes, the Lord sees your hand. Anyone else say, Lord, I need to come back to you. I need to get right, oh God. Anyone else? Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just want to thank you for those who have lifted their hands, that you would speak into their lives, Lord, that you would help them as they make this journey back to you to get their lives in order and lives right. Lord, we know that you're coming soon, and we just pray that we would be ready for that day. Ready, Lord God. I just want to thank you and give you all glory and honor in Yeshua's name. Amen. 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 Let me mention a couple things here. About 2:30 to 2:45, we'll be meeting back here in the sanctuary. We're having a yard site, a candle lighting memorial. We have plenty of yard site candles for everyone. And this is a time we'll be sharing memories of our loved ones and also about your own selves a little bit. And we've got some special music. We're going to have the Messiah's Supper communion together. So we have a number of things we're going to be doing on that. And then at 5:30, there'll be a little break. At 5:30, we will be meeting, or we will be starting a break the fast meal for those who are fast. But anybody, please, all of you, all welcome to join us in the meal. It's at 5:30. It's like three blocks down from here. And the address is right here on your bulletins. And what I understand is right down the street, you turn right on Stokes, and then you're first left. But instead, you want them parking in that grass area? Right there on Stokes. As soon as you, from this street, you turn right on Stokes, just before you turn into Sunset right there, there's a grass area in the front, and that's the best place to park in that grass area. Last time we got kind of... It's right on the road, a grassy area, right on Stokes. It'll be a good way. But everyone is welcome, and we're going to have a meal together, a wonderful time, a Havdalah, the close of the Shabbat later on, so it's going to be a wonderful time. So we have a lot of good things next week, or tomorrow. We're going to be building the sukkah outside. I saw a lot of men raise their hands. We took photographs of each one of you. And if you're not here, we know where to find you. Okay? And so we need help building sukkah next Friday. We're again meeting here. Well, tomorrow it's at 6. Isn't that right? Oh, 5 tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow is at 5. Yeah. Tomorrow is at 5. But then next Friday... That's before we meet her again. Next Friday, we're meeting here at 6. Next Friday at 6, we're going to meet here. We're going to make lulavs. That's the myrtle, the palm, and the willow that we're going to be waving as in here and as we march outside. We're also going to be decorating the sukkah, bring decorations for that. If you have palm and willow, we need palm and willow. Come on, people, we need palm and willow. Lots of it. Lots of palm and willow. Okay, this is Florida. Okay? And then we'll be having, tons of pizzas and drinks, okay? Well, we need pounds, okay? Big pounds. If you got pounds, they call them emperor pounds. You got any emperor palms, you got pounds. But anyway, so we got a lot of things going on, a lot of exciting things I want all of you to be part of. So join with me on those events. I'm looking forward to it. If you'd stand, and we'll just conclude this time right now with the Aaronic benediction. Join hands with one another, if you would.
The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the children of Israel. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom." May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his grace and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom.
We're leaving the sound system up, okay? So we don't need to put the sound system away. The front table we can put away. That's about it. The front table we'll put away. And we do need a couple big tables up front here for the candles.